Most of the days in the life of Jesus Christ were now just as busy as the Savior's work day in our last story. From morning till night, Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching to the people wherever they would come to hear him. And Jesus cured every kind of disease. Jesus had hundreds of friends now. The Lord was the most listened to rabbi that had ever been known. No other rabbi could do such marvelous wonders. Twice Jesus had even brought back to life those who were dead. That wonder was the most wonderful of all, don't you think? One or two of the greatest and most loved prophets in Old Testament times had done this, but in such a different way. They prayed to God for the power to work the miracle. It was like asking God for a favor. But Jesus raised the dead by his own power. How could he do that? Because Jesus was God's son. Would you not think that the people of Nazareth who had tried to kill Jesus the last time he was there would be glad to hear him, now that Jesus had so many friends? Jesus had a great interest in the people with whom he had lived so many years. The Savior was not angry with them, and Jesus was not afraid of them. The Lord knew that he could make their lives happier if they would only let him do so. Jesus longed to help them. So one day Jesus went to Nazareth and taught in the synagogue. He taught so well that all who heard him were astonished. Those who heard Jesus could not help seeing how truly great a man the Lord was. Yet they still would not believe that he was the Christ whom the prophets had foretold. The old question came up again. Where did he learn so much? How can he do such wonderful things? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Do we not know all his family? Jesus wondered why they would not believe in him. But Jesus could not help them very much when they felt like this, and so he left them. Jesus never again went back to Nazareth. Do you think it hurt Jesus' feelings because the people in his hometown would not trust him? Jesus went through one village after another in Galilee. He saw so many people needing to be taught. They seemed to him like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said to his disciples, "There is plenty of work to be done, but there are not many workers. You, my apostles, must go out by yourselves now and work as you have seen me work. Do not go yet among the Samaritans or any other people who are not of your own nation. Go only among the Jews, and as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is here.' God will give you the power to heal the sick, cure the lepers, and to raise the dead. You need not take food or money or extra clothing with you, for one who works deserves to be paid for it. When you go into a city, find some house where you will be welcome. If the people receive you, well. If not, they, not you, will be the losers. You will not have an easy time doing this work. People will not treat the disciples any better than they have treated the Master. And many men will hate you because you are my friends, if for no other reason. But if they trouble you in one city, go to another. Do not be afraid of anyone, for even if they kill your body, they cannot kill your soul. God takes care of such little creatures as sparrows. Will he not much more care for you who are worth more than all the sparrows put together? So do not be afraid to let men know that you are my friends and believe my words. Do not try to make your life an easy one. Forget about yourselves and think about what others need, and you cannot help being happy. Forget others and think of your own needs, and you will never be happy. With these words of advice and comfort, Jesus sent his apostles out into the country to do their first work among those people who were like sheep without a shepherd. They went two by two so that one could help the other. About this time, Herod heard of the work Jesus was doing, and he was afraid. There is an old saying, "A guilty conscience makes cowards of us all." This is what was now the matter with Herod. His conscience was troubling him. That is why he trembled when he heard of Jesus, who could make disease and nature and even death obey him. Herod did wrong when he put John the Baptist in prison. But since doing that, Herod had done something even more wicked. When Herod's birthday came around, he celebrated it by inviting a large party of the lords and nobles of the land to his palace. His niece, Salome, helped to entertain the guests by dancing. Herod was very pleased with the way Salome danced for him. He was so pleased that he praised her, and without stopping to think what it might mean, he said to her, "You may ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you." What would you have chosen? Certainly not what this girl did. Salome did not decide for herself. Instead, she ran out of the room to talk it over with her mother. Now, this would have been a wise plan if Herodias had been a good mother, but she was not. She was a very wicked woman. In fact, it was to please her that Herod put John the Baptist into prison. But even this punishment of John had not satisfied this cruel woman. Salome's mother, Herodias, had never forgiven John the Baptist for what he had said to Herod about her. And because of that, she had tried to have John put to death. There were two reasons why Herod would not do this. First, he was afraid of the people who thought John was a prophet. And second, he himself had learned to like John. But now her chance had come. Without a moment's thought, she said to her daughter Salome, "Tell Herod that you want the head of John the Baptist brought to you on a platter." The girl went back to Herod and told him what her mother had decided to ask for. Now when Herod heard what she had chosen, he was sorry that he had made such an unwise promise. But he would not break his word before all those people. Herod sent word to the prison that John was to be put to death. He gave the girl what she asked for. Salome then took the gift to her mother. Herod was unhappy and troubled from that day on. He was troubled and unhappy because he knew that he had done wrong by allowing this good man, John, to be killed. Herod was also afraid when he heard about the wonderful rabbi who was healing the sick and raising the dead. Herod said, "Who is this of whom I hear such things? I killed John the Baptist, but it must be that he has risen from the dead and is doing all these great works." Herod wanted to see the great rabbi, to know if his fears were true. Jesus soon heard the sad news of the death of John. Some of John's disciples came to tell Jesus about it. They also told the Lord that Herod was asking about him. Because of these things, Jesus did not stay longer in that part of Galilee. Instead, the Savior went again to Capernaum. There Jesus met the apostles who had come back to report to their master what they had been doing and what success they had had. All of them were tired and needed rest. But at Capernaum, so many people were coming and going all the time that they could hardly find time to even eat, much less rest. So Jesus said to the 12, "Come apart by ourselves into some quiet place and rest a while." With joy they sailed away, thinking that, as no one knew where they were going, they could find a place where they could be alone by themselves. They had missed their master so much, and they had so much to talk about and so many questions to ask. But some of the people on the bank who had heard Jesus speak watched to see in what direction the boat went. Toward the northeast, they knew a lovely spot in Bethsaida, a lake town about 6 miles from Capernaum. So the crowd of people made up their minds that Jesus was going to that quiet place. Following the shore, men, women, and children ran to Bethsaida. When Jesus and his disciples reached Bethsaida, they found the crowd of people waiting for him. It seemed selfish of the people to do this because Jesus and his friends needed a rest. But did Jesus find fault with the people? Did Jesus send them away? Oh, no. In the mind of Jesus, they were some of the sheep without a shepherd. As long as the day lasted, Jesus taught them all and helped those who needed healing. How interested everyone was in Jesus. None of them thought of leaving as long as they could hear this great teacher talk. Evening came on, yet the people showed no sign of leaving. At last, the 12 came to Jesus and said, "Master, send the people away that they may go into the towns and country round about for a place to sleep and to buy food. They can get nothing here, for we are in a desert place." Jesus answered, "They need not go away. We will give them something to eat." Turning to Philip, Jesus said, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for everyone to have a little." At this time in history, 200 denarii would have been about 8 months' wages. Even that much would still not buy enough bread to feed such a large crowd. The disciples did not know what to do. One of the 12 said to Jesus, "Master, shall we go and buy bread enough for them to eat?" Jesus asked, "How many loaves have you here?" Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, answered, "Here is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" The loaves were thin cakes. They were something like a puffed-up tortilla. They were made of barley meal and baked so hard that they were broken instead of being cut. Jesus said, "Make the men sit down on the grass in groups of 50 and 100. This was done, and it was found that there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. It was springtime. The people were probably in their brightly colored clothes. Can you see them as they sat in different groups on the fresh green grass? They must have looked very nice." Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, gave thanks. Then the Lord broke the 5 loaves into pieces and gave them to his disciples. What should they do with those pieces of bread? Should they pass these few pieces of bread around as far as they would go? They had seen their master do so many wonderful things that they did not stop to question him now. They began to serve those who were seated, and they kept on serving them till every one of that big group of people were served all they wanted. Can you see all the men, women, and children eating all they wanted to eat of both the bread and the fish? When everyone was satisfied, the apostles gathered up the food that was left. Why did they do this? Because Jesus had told them to gather up the fragments that remained so that nothing should be lost. After they had gathered them together, they found they had enough left over of the 5 barley loaves to fill 12 baskets. After seeing this great miracle, what did the crowd think? Many of them had heard wonderful stories of what Jesus could do. Many of them had seen what Jesus had already done. Some of them had probably been cured by Jesus. But this seemed to them the greatest work of all. 5,000 and more people fed with only 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Could anyone but God's Son do that? They became very excited and began to shout, "This is He whom the prophets foretold. Our King has come. Jesus is our King, and we will make him King now." Jesus wanted them to quickly stop saying that, because the Lord knew that it would bring trouble both to him and to the people should the Roman emperor hear of any such plan to make Jesus King of the children of Israel. In one way, they were right. Jesus was the King foretold by the prophets. But Jesus could not make them understand that he was not their kind of a king. He had not come to help them fight battles or to sit on a king's throne in Palestine. Jesus had come to teach people that such things do not bring happiness. Jesus came to teach people that their own wicked thoughts and habits were the enemies they ought to fight. Jesus came to teach people that the way to serve him best was to do the will of God, his Father. And so, while people were still shouting, "We will make him king," Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat, sail to the other side of the lake, and wait for him there. Jesus would stay behind and send the people away. Later, Jesus would go with them to Capernaum. The disciples were disappointed. How different the day had been from what they had expected. And now it was very hard to be sent away by themselves while their master stayed behind with these excited people. They did not want to leave Jesus, but Jesus said go, and they obeyed. It was not long before Jesus sent the people away, and tired and sad, he went up into the mountain to pray. He knew that he could not trust these people. They had wanted to crown him king today because he had done something that pleased them. But Jesus knew that tomorrow they would be just as ready to join the Pharisees in treating him badly. They were willing to be helped by Jesus, and they enjoyed seeing Jesus work miracles, but they would not try to understand him. Only from God his Father could Jesus get strength to keep on with his work. There on that mountaintop, Jesus prayed for that strength. Very early in the morning, a storm came up. Jesus thought of his 12 friends out in the boat on the big lake. Were they in trouble as they were that other night not so very long ago? If they were, they needed him. So Jesus went to them. The boat was now in the middle of the lake, being tossed about by the waves. The wind was against them, and the disciples could not cross the lake, though they were rowing as hard as they could. About 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, they saw something coming toward them. What they saw looked like the form of a man walking on the water. The form came nearer and nearer. What was it? A spirit? They were afraid and cried out. But what do you think they heard? They heard a voice which sounded like the one they had learned to know and love so much. This voice said, "It is I, be not afraid." They thought it must be Jesus whom they saw. Peter called out, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said to Peter, "Come." Peter stepped out of the boat. He too walked a little way on the water, but instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, he began to look down at the waves. Oh, how high and angry those waves must have looked. Peter was afraid to take another step, and he began to sink. Peter then cried out to Jesus, "Master, save me." Jesus then stretched out his hand and caught Peter, saying, "Why have you so little faith in me? Why could you not trust me?" And Jesus then led Peter to the boat. When they were both there, the wind stopped blowing. Then all who were on board came and fell down at the feet of the Christ and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They rowed to the shore of Gennesaret. Very soon after they landed, it was known by everybody nearby that they had arrived. People carried their sick friends on beds to Jesus for healing. They even laid the sick in the streets of the villages, and they begged Jesus to let them touch the hem of his garment. All the sick people who did this were cured. When the 5,000 had been sent away without being allowed to carry out their plan of making Jesus king, many of them went to their homes disappointed and angry with the Lord. There were some, though, who spent the night in the valley. In the morning, these people looked here and there, trying to find Jesus. They thought he could not be far away, for they had seen the Lord's apostles sail away without him. Some, no doubt, had seen Jesus going up the mountain alone. But after looking around for some time without finding Jesus, these people decided to go across to Capernaum, taking other boats which had come to shore during the night. They crossed the lake. Imagine their surprise when they got to Capernaum and found Jesus teaching and curing the sick as if nothing had happened. They said to Jesus, "Rabbi, when did you come across?" They seemed very glad to see him again. Jesus did not answer their question. He knew why they were so pleased to find him. Instead of answering their question directly, Jesus said, "You are following me about not because you want to learn from me, but because you ate of the loaves and fishes which I gave you. Yet how much better it would be if you wanted to be with me to learn of those things which would make your lives so much better and happier. The loaves and fishes which I gave did not satisfy you very long, but I can fill your hearts with that which will satisfy you forever." In the synagogue at Capernaum, Jesus taught the same lesson because everyone had heard how Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and everyone was talking about it. As Jesus spoke to them about doing God's work, someone asked, "What is God's work? What can we do to please him?" Jesus answered, "Believe on the one God has sent to you." Someone else said, "Give us a sign that God sent you if you want us to believe you. Long years ago, when Moses led our fathers out of Egypt to their own country, he gave them bread from heaven to eat, and so they knew that he was sent by God." Jesus answered, "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who has come down from heaven to give light to the world." But the Lord's hearers did not understand what he meant. Jesus then said, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never grow hungry, and he that believes on me shall never be thirsty. But you will not come to me. You will not believe me, though I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Everyone who believes me shall have the life that goes on forever." By hunger and thirst, Jesus meant that great desire to be good and to love God, of which he spoke in the Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes? But those children of Israel did not understand Jesus. They began to mutter among themselves that old question, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I come down from heaven? This and other things that Jesus taught were very hard for the people to understand, and many, even some who had been willing to be called his disciples, wanted no more to do with Jesus. The Lord turned to his 12 dearest friends and said, Will you also go away? Peter answered for all of them, Where shall we go? No one else can teach us as you can, and we are sure that you are the Son of God. Then Jesus said, And yet even one of my 12 chosen apostles is not a true friend. He meant Judas, for Jesus knew that Judas did not truly love him. About this time, some of the Pharisees came to Jesus to complain about what seemed to them a great fault. It was about a custom of the children of Israel, which had been followed for years and years. The custom was this. A person was to wash his hands before eating. Do you remember why it was so important for them to have a custom about washing their hands? Because they must touch the food that others were to eat. But that was not what the children of Israel meant by this washing of the hands. They did it as a sign to show that their hearts were washed as clean from sin as their hands were washed by the water. We know that God told the children of Israel to do certain things as signs that their sins were forgiven. For example, the sacrifices and the burning of the incense were signs. But this was not one of the things which God had told them about. It was something that their leaders and teachers thought they should do. Water was scarce, but even if they had to go a long way to get it, they must not eat without first washing their hands. If there was not enough water for both washing their hands and drinking, the custom was that they must go without drinking. Some of the Pharisees saw the apostles eating without first washing their hands. So they came to Jesus and said, Why do not your disciples keep the laws of our elders? They eat without washing their hands. Jesus said, Why do you not keep the laws of your God instead of putting the laws of men above God's laws? Yours is not true worship, for you honor men more than you honor God. Jesus did not mean that the children of Israel were wrong about washing their hands. But the Lord did mean that it was wrong to think more about that custom than about keeping their hearts really clean. After saying this to those Pharisees, Jesus turned to the people standing near and said, Not that which goes into the mouth makes a man unclean, but that which comes out of the mouth. Jesus explained this later. It is not what we eat and drink which makes us wicked, but the bad words and wicked thoughts and actions which sometimes come from our heart. The answer which Jesus gave to these Pharisees made them more angry than ever. In fact, they went away thinking that something must be done at once to stop the teaching of Jesus. And these Pharisees did everything they could to turn other people against Jesus. And some of the people listened to these angry Pharisees, because some were greatly disappointed that Jesus was not willing, a few days before, to be made their king.